Pastor Ray Bentley says Israel is a modern-day example of resurrection.
I believe that Israel is a living sermon to every nation, especially in this generation. I will resurrect a dead nation after 2,000 years. And because I can resurrect a nation, that is only to prove that I raised my son from the dead after 2 days when he was crucified. He rose from the dead.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. If there's any doubt that God has his hand on the events of our world today, Pastor Ray says take one look at the nation Israel, a homeland for the Jewish people that disappeared for 2,000 years and then was reborn just as recently as 1948. Today, we'll see its strong evidence of the Lord's resurrection power.
Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark chapter 11. The title of the message is The Aliyah of Messiah. Aliyah means to ascend. Read with me as I share with you verses 1 through 6. It says verse 1, Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered in, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, Why are you doing this? Say, The Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, What are you doing, loosing this colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. And so they let them go. What's happening here is as Jesus now comes and he gets this little colt, Jesus is ready now to fulfill a prophecy that is very famous. All the Jewish people know it. They have been taught it since they were little children. How will we know who the Messiah is? How will we recognize him? And there were several prophecies that they kind of focused on as a clue. And one thing that they all knew is that when the Messiah comes, he will come riding on a donkey from the Mount of Olives. The fact that he came lowly and humble, he came as the servant and the Lamb of God. What is the significance of riding on a donkey? Now, and by the way, in the second coming, he comes on a large white horse. But he's not even on a grown-up donkey, but a young donkey. Think of what does that look like? It means that Jesus' feet are basically dragging on the ground. In other words, he's physically low, not just humble of heart, but literally, physically, he's close enough, you could go up and touch him. Now, if he's on a horse and he's surrounded by all these bodyguards and, you know, military and this and that, you couldn't get anywhere near him. The very fact that Jesus came on a young little donkey low and near to the ground means that Jesus came because he wanted to be approachable. He wanted people to be able to touch him. If Jesus came to San Diego and people started raising from the dead and people that were blind could see and the lame could walk and you had a chance to go up, how many of you wouldn't mind going up and touching Jesus or hugging Jesus or being with as near as you could possibly be? Well, that's what it was. But I want to speak on the other side. That makes sense. We'd want to be near him. What is amazing to me is not that people wanted to get near Jesus to touch him. What impresses me is that Jesus wanted people to be able to touch him. He wanted to be humble. He wanted to be lowly. He wanted to be approachable. He wanted to be near them. And this is very touching. Jesus wants our affection, which they lavished upon him. Some begin throwing their robes, carpeting the road with robes. What a contrast to when he will come as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, upon the great white horse. Now, they also start running around and they're cutting off palm branches and they're spreading them on the road. What does that mean? Well, I put here in your notes, it speaks of the Feast of Trumpets. Now, in the fall, there are three feasts. And the seventh feast is called the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's a very beautiful and powerful one, but it's the last one. It was on the Feast of Tabernacles that Israel was told to take palm branches and palm fronds as a part of their worship ceremony. If you want to write it down, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 40. Symbolically, the Feast of Tabernacles became synonymous with the establishing of the Messianic kingdom. Now, Jesus is at the first of the seven feasts in the spring at Passover. They're jumping all the way past the spring, past the summer, into the fall to the last and seventh feast, which is Tabernacles. And what are they saying by this? They're saying right at Passover, we believe you are more than a healer. You are more than a great teacher. You are more than a rabbi. You are even more than a prophet. You are that prophet which was spoken to us by Moses, that God would send another prophet like Moses, but greater than Moses. And this was the one who would be the Messiah. They were literally giving Jesus the acclamation that he was bringing the kingdom of God. They are quoting the Hallel Psalms, which are the Messianic Psalms, which are sung for the 8 days of Tabernacles. And they're crying out, save now, save now. Read with me as I share with you verses 7 through 10. It says, then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means save now. The root word for Hoshea has the same root as the name of the man entering Jerusalem on the little colt. Yeshua is Jesus' name in Hebrew. Yeshua. Yeshua, Hoshina, Hoshiana, it means salvation. Jesus' name means salvation. People were waiting and looking for this special prophet like no other. Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 and 19 is in your notes. Let's read it out loud. Here's the basis. This is what they were looking for. Let's read it. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. So here it came. Jesus was that one, and they're crying out, Hosanna, you're the King, you're the Messiah, we trust in you, bring salvation now. And then verse 11, it says, and Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, and he went out to Bethany with the 12. So read with me as I share with you verses 7 through 10. It says, then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They're quoting these beautiful psalms. Hosannas. Everybody say Hosanna. Hosanna. Okay, now cry Hosanna.
Hosanna!
That was better. Did you feel that? Hosanna means save now. If you had been Jewish and you're in ancient Israel and you've been under the boot and the power and the crushing weight of the Roman Empire. Everywhere you went, there were Roman soldiers collecting your hard-earned money, taking taxes from you to support their empire way back there in Rome. And you had been told that a king was coming that had power and had authority and that God would be glorified and worldliness and ungodliness would be swept away and the kingdom of heaven would be coming to the earth. And you were waiting for the one who would bring that liberation. And you saw him and you knew that there was a psalm that described him coming. Hosanna, save now. They saw Jesus and they're saying, save now. And for the people, they wanted a king. They wanted a savior. They wanted a Messiah. The Hebrew is Hoshea-na. The root word for Hoshea has the same root as the name of the man entering Jerusalem on the little colt. Yeshua is Jesus' name in Hebrew. Jesus' name means salvation.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We really enjoy hearing from our listeners. It's a blessing to hear how these broadcasts often reach people at just the right time.
I'm at a place in my life where I need to be grounded. I need help and I need comfort. I've been looking to other people and things to fill all my needs. I never realized all I needed to do was look up and ask God to help. When I heard Pastor Ray, it felt like he was speaking directly to me. And every word he said was dealing with my life. After hearing the message, I asked God into my heart. I asked him to take control of my life and lead me. Thank you, Pastor Ray.
How have these studies impacted your life or your family? Drop Pastor Ray an email at ray@raybentley.com. Again, ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now look with me in verse 12. It says, now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. It's interesting about the fig tree, what it represents, and Jesus' cursing of this fig tree. The fig tree in the Bible is a symbol of the nation Israel. And yes, it wasn't the season for figs, but the whole point about figs is that a fig tree that has leaves upon it always has some early fruit, or nearly always, or it should have had some early fruit. That's what fig trees were known for, early fruit that other trees didn't bring and couldn't bring. They weren't designed to be able to bring it, but a fig tree was different. A fig tree was special, and that's what God saw in Abraham and Sarah. These are the first human beings who I can bless by my grace and make a promise to them, and they'll believe me. And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Abraham was the early fruit of all the believers. He became the father of faith for all who would come after him. You and I who believe in Jesus Christ, we are grafted into the Abrahamic covenant of faith that is by grace, not by earning it, meriting it, being good enough or worthy. We are saved by grace through faith, and that is the gift of God. Amen. And even the faith that we have to believe, you have to believe. But if you say, well, at least I was the one that had the faith. No, even the faith was a gift to believing. God gave you the faith to believe. Isn't that awesome? So I can't take any glory or any credit for my salvation. I'm okay with that. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fig tree was a physical picture. The world is full of pictures in the physical, natural world of spiritual, deep spiritual realities. The fig tree was a picture of the Jewish people. It was a picture of those human beings which were the first responders to say, I'll believe. God, you want to bless me? I'm here. Bless me. I believe. There should have been fruit, early fruit, but there was something defective about this tree. Secondly, the fig tree is an apt symbol of the nation Israel. Hosea chapter 9, verse 10, one scripture, there are others, but we'll just read this one. Let's read it out loud. When I found Israel, it was like finding grapes in the desert. When I saw your ancestors, it was like seeing a fig tree's first figs in its first season. But as soon as they came to Baal Peor, they dedicated themselves to something shameful. They became as loathsome as the thing they loved. This was Hosea's talking in ancient times that God had come to the nation of Israel, and he says, when I first saw you and when I first found you, you were the first human beings to respond and to believe in my goodness and my grace, and I blessed you, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But then later you fell out of love with me and you started worshiping other idols, and then you became as loathsome as they were. So now Jesus uses this little fig tree as a prophetic picture of the nation of Israel. Why? Because Israel should have known the time of its visitation. There was enough in the prophecies and enough in the word. They should have known, maybe not the day or the hour that he would arrive, but it was the season, it was the time, it was the generation. He had given them signs in the heavens, the star above that led people from the east. And there were shepherds who had been borne witness to just 7 miles outside of Jerusalem in the little village of Bethlehem, the very home of David, where a king had been born. They had enough. They should have been watching for him, waiting for him, looking for him. But in fact, they were not ready. They were not prepared. God's loving covenant with Israel is beautifully portrayed as finding the best fruit of the early season. But the cursing of this fig tree was a picture that Jesus and his Father in heaven was disappointed at the spiritual condition of the nation at large. There was a remnant that he would save then, and that he would begin the church with not long after his resurrection on the Feast of Pentecost. But the fig tree, as a nation, was not producing fruit, especially in its anticipation or preparation for the arrival of Yeshua, the Messiah, the King. They should have known. Even on the day of the triumphal entry, they're tearing down palm branches. Oh, Hosanna, Hosanna, we believe you're the one. Where did all that emotion and enthusiasm, it didn't even last a full week. And by Good Friday, when he was finally captured, betrayed, interrogated, beaten, and then eventually put up on the cross, where were all the people? And even his own, the shepherd was smitten, and the disciples fled. And so Jesus, he says to them, there's nothing here. He found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And in response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. There was a judgment. Now here's where some go too far, and where they say that is a sign that God had brought a curse upon the Jewish people or the Jewish nation or upon Israel. And they go so far as to say that the Jewish people have then been replaced by the church. That's going too far. What I do believe that Jesus was saying was that the fig tree, the nation, the generation, had lost its moment of opportunity. And therefore, as Jesus himself said, with weeping and with tears, if you had only known this thy day, the day of thy visitation, but now you shall be surrounded on all sides, and that building where you worship the Father in heaven shall be torn down, and not one stone shall be left on top of another. Do you know when that happened? 70 AD. About 40 years after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That generation lost not only the temple, they lost the city of Jerusalem. They lost their land. They lost their nationhood, and they were scattered. But I believe that only applied to that generation. And the scriptures talk about, here's the beautiful thing. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is sharing with his disciples, and they're asking him about, well, okay, tell us about the kingdom. And you have said you're going to die and you're going to rise on the third day. So when's the kingdom going to come? When are you coming on that white horse? When is the power? When are we going to see the clouds and the angels and the lion lying down with the lamb? Tell us. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, I've got one more parable to tell you. It's the parable of the fig tree. When its branches are yet tender and when its leaves begin to bud forth, when you see these things, surely I tell you, this generation shall not pass till all these things come to pass. God wasn't finished with the fig tree. Maybe that tree for that generation, but not in the long view or in the big picture. There was another fig tree that would resurrect and be born again. The nation of Israel blossomed in 1948, just 3 years after World War II. A nation that had, and this has never happened to any people or any other group in human history, listen carefully, that a people lost their land and their home and their national identity for 2 millenniums, and then 2 millenniums later, they come back. Go with me to Hosea in the Old Testament. It's right after Daniel. Are you with me? Hosea, chapter 6, verse 1. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. When? After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. What is that talking about? I'm going to ask you a question. Is that talking about the nation of Israel, or is that talking about the Messiah? Be careful before you answer. Because sometimes the answer is not either or, but both and. Because Israel is a picture of the Messiah, as the Messiah is a picture of Israel. Jesus would be crucified and laid and buried, and after 2 days, on the third day, he would resurrect. Israel would die 2,000 years ago, and a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. And after 2 days, after 2,000 years, they will be resurrected on the third day, and we will live in his sight. I believe that Israel is a living sermon to every nation and every people and every tribe and every tongue, especially in this generation. And what God in heaven is saying to those who don't go to church and they don't listen to Bible studies and they don't know anything about the word or prophecy, but God is pointing to the nation of Israel and he is saying, you see that people? There's no other people on your planet that this has happened to that died and were dead for 2 days and 2,000 years, but they're my people and I made a covenant and I made a promise and I will keep my promise. And you watch, because I'm God, I can do whatever I want. I will resurrect a dead nation after 2,000 years before the eyes of the whole world, and there's nothing the world can do about it. And because I can resurrect a nation from the dead after 2,000 years, that is only to prove that I raised my son from the dead after 2 days when he was crucified. He rose from the dead. God keeps his word. God keeps his promises. Jesus is real, and he is coming back, and he's coming with clouds and power and great glory. Amen? Amen. And why are we the ones that are alive to know this and to see it all coming together? I don't know. But I'm for it. I'm like, Lord, you got my attention. And my eyes are on you. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with interesting perspective on how Israel is a demonstration of the resurrecting power of God the Father. Glad you've joined us today here on Maranatha Radio. Today's study is titled The Aliyah of Messiah. And if you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. We hope you'll stop by our site today. When you get there, under Media, you'll notice 3 words, Watch, Radio, and Devo. 3 ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights. Plus, click About and find out more about Pastor Ray and find out how you can come into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And at the bottom of the page, you can sign up to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions via email, free of charge. Plus, you'll find other spiritual growth books and resources from Pastor Ray, including his latest book called The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. So many are enjoying the full series called The Elijah Chronicles. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also make a donation right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world.
Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.